Tobacco Broadcasting Company presents Eyes Aloft.
Army Flash. One, multi-motor, high, scene, 18 Gabriel 4, overhead, northwest.
Eyes aloft, up in the sky, watching the planes flying the lanes up above.
Three,
eyes aloft,
eyes aloft. The 4th Fighter Command of the United States Army Air Forces, in cooperation with West Coast Radio Station, presents this series of programs honoring the 150,000 volunteer observers and filter center workers whose round-the-clock vigilance keeps watchful guard of the Pacific Coast against attack by enemy planes.
Eyes aloft, sky the name,
Ken Carpenter speaking. Tonight, the 8th edition of Eyes Aloft includes a great American story of loyalty. You'll hear the Gordon Jenkins Orchestra and the Sportsmen in a musical salute to the Navy. The presentation of the weekly Gold Trophy Award. True stories of observers and filter center workers. And here is your popular Eyes Aloft narrator to take over the shift, Gayne Whitman.
At the tone, Eastern Airlines.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
3 hours.
Let me ask you something.
1 minute.
How would you describe loyalty? Well, just take a second and try to answer that in your own mind.
At the tone, Eastern Daylight Time, 23 hours, 2 minutes, exactly. Universal Time,
well, friends, here is the way one man interpreted loyalty. His name was Robert Rake. Robert Rake lived on a farm a few miles out of McMinnville, Oregon.
23 hours,
it was a good farm in the heart of the fertile Willamette Valley. On the Rake farm, there were grain and hay and also livestock.
20 seconds.
All that meant work. One Saturday night last January, Robert Rake's farmhand came.
At the tone, Eastern Daylight
Time.
I'm
leaving here tonight.
2 minutes.
You are again? I hope you'll be able to pick up some other hired help in town right away.
2 minutes.
You need at least one other man to help you run this place.
Yes, I know, Jim.
U.S. Naval Observatory.
You know, it's hard to get farm help now.
At the tone,
men are going to Portland and Vancouver to work in the shipyards.
2 minutes.
That's where I'm heading for. Make some money for a change.
Well,
3 hours. 2 minutes.
Jim, I wonder if you could sort of stay on
U.S.
for
Naval
one more
Observatory
week.
Master
I mean, till I hire me a new man.
Eastern
when I make
time.
Up my mind to do
hours,
something,
three
I better do it,
exactly.
Mr. Rake. I wouldn't be much
Universal
good working
time.
For you another
three
week.
Hours,
I'd be itching to get into
minutes,
the city.
5 seconds.
Well, you see, Jim, my
U.S. Naval Observatory
exactly
Master
feeling well late.
I noticed the
Eastern
other day when we were moving that hay around
hours,
the barn,
three
you
minutes,
kind of got worn out awful fast.
Universal time, 3 hours, 3 minutes.
I'll make out here some way. Well,
U.S.
come on up
Naval
to the house and I'll pay you wages to date.
At the door. 3 minutes. 3 hours. 3 minutes.
Well, I'm much obliged.
Seconds.
It's been a pleasure working for
U.S.
you.
U.S. Naval Observatory.
And Mr. Rake, you sure put out good meals.
At the tone.
I'm sorry to
Eastern
have you
Daylight
leave.
Time.
He's going to work
hours,
in the shipyard in Portland.
45
I
seconds.
I don't know who's going to run the
Universal
farm.
Universal time.
Well,
hours,
I'm going to go. I'm going to thumb my way into the city. Oh, and
U.S. Naval Observatory.
Yes,
Master Clark. At the
you
tone,
take it
Eastern
easy.
Daylight Time.
Don't work
23
too hard.
Hours,
yeah, he does
4 minutes.
Have to be careful.
Exactly.
I've been telling him.
Universal
now
time,
he has more work
hours,
piled on him.
4 minutes.
Well, I'll be
five
all right.
Seconds.
So long, Jim. Drop in and
U.S.
say hello
Naval
if you ever come through this
Master
way.
Clark.
Thanks, I will.
At the tone,
bye,
Eastern
bye,
Daylight
Jim.
Time. 23 hours, 4 minutes.
Oh, dear.
15
this
seconds.
Seems like the last.
Universal
oh,
time.
I hate to ask
3 hours,
many, but
4 minutes.
I can get somebody, you might have to help me with the chores.
U.S. Naval Observatory
we have to hire somebody right away
tone,
for the real
Eastern
heavy
Eastern Daylight Time.
You can't
23
do it.
Hours, 4 minutes.
Bob, I want you to go
seconds.
See the doctor tomorrow.
Oh,
Universal time,
3
hours, 4 minutes.
Anyway, I don't have
seconds.
Time for a few days.
Well, one thing's sure. You're going to have to drop those night
at
watches
tone,
at the observation post. Now, I insist on
four
that.
Minutes,
no, Minnie, I
45
can't
seconds.
Stop that.
Universal
part
time,
of the community.
3 hours.
We
minutes,
have to accept our share
seconds.
Of the responsibility.
Well, all I can
U.S.
say
Naval
is plenty of people around aren't giving any help.
At the tone,
you could lay
Eastern
off temporarily
time,
at least.
23 hours.
You're
going to
need
minutes,
rest.
Exactly.
Sleep night,
Minnie. I'm,
Universal
I'm
time,
going to keep
3 hours.
That
5 minutes. 5
they
seconds.
Leave me there.
Robert Rake's wife did persuade him to see his doctor. When the doctor learned of all the work and the long hours that Mr. Rake was putting in, and after an examination, he served an ultimatum.
Mr. Rake, let's face this thing squarely.
Yeah, I've faced the situation. But what can a fella do if he can't hire help?
Which is more important, keeping up your farm or going on living?
Yeah, but if I don't keep my farm operating, what will I live on?
I don't like the sound of your heart today, Mr. Rake. You need rest, plenty of it. You can't keep up at this pace. Now, I don't want to unduly alarm you, but I'm very serious about the warning I'm giving you. I'm just going to have to take it easy.
Well, I'll watch out, Doctor. I'll try to take it a little easier.
But Robert Rake kept on going. January passed. And February. On the night of March 5th, Robert Rake got up from a short sleep, dressed, and got himself ready to go over to the Carlton Observation Post to take his regular midnight to 7 a.m. watch. He left Mrs. Rake sleeping. Outside of the house, he heard the cattle down at the corral, restless. He went down.
There must have been a bobcat sneaking around, making him nervous. I see that all these bars and the gate are up solid.
Bob, is that you?
What? Minnie, I thought you were up to the house asleep. What'd you come down for? It's cold tonight.
Bob, what are you doing?
When I come out, the cattle sounded nervous. Came down to look around. Must have been a cat or something.
Now, Bob, let me go take your watch at the post tonight.
Why, of course not, Minnie. You go on now and get back up to the house and get to bed.
Oh, you never stop work anymore. I'm so worried lately.
Well, now, don't. Now, you get on inside. You just got on your slippers and the ground's cold and wet. You'll catch pneumonia.
Don't you worry about me. Bob, you only got about 2 hours sleep tonight. I wish you'd let me go take your watch, please.
No, Minnie, honey, thanks. It's something I always want to keep doing as long as the little post keeps running. I mean, well, it's just the way I feel about it. Now, you run along. I'll take the car and drive on over to the post. See you in the morning about 7:15.
Yes, Bob.
Good night, honey.
Good night, Bob. Good night.
On the night of March 5th, Robert Rake arrived at the Carlton Observation Post a few minutes to midnight. He took over and the other observer went home. He settled himself to pass the night, to listen, wait, watch for the approach of any plane that might pass over his post. 1 o'clock. 2 o'clock. 23 minutes after 2 that morning, the weary heart of Robert Rake stopped beating. The angel of God came and took him to guard another post, a heavenly post on high. Klein, chairman of the Yamhill County Aircraft Warning Service, long distance, 4th Fighter Command headquarters in Portland. Talked with Lieutenant Robert Clark, ground observation officer of that area.
Lieutenant Clark?
Clark speaking.
This is Lou Klein down in McMinnville. I have some unfortunate news, Lieutenant.
Oh? What's that, Lou?
One of our most loyal observers passed away last night while standing guard at the Carlton Post.
Oh, no. Who was it?
Robert Rake. Heart gave out. It was just a case of overwork. Some of our observers tried to get him to take a layoff, but, well, he wouldn't.
So he died on duty, just like any true soldier.
Yes, Lieutenant. I called to ask if, well, if it isn't too much, do you suppose the Army could provide a guard of honor for the funeral?
Give me the day and hour, and I'll have officers and soldiers there to get the colors, Louis. Robert Rake has been a part of the Army protecting this country. He's entitled to the last rites of the Army. Yes, a military guard will be there.
afternoon of March 7th, 1942. A drizzle of Oregon mist fell on the bowed heads of several hundred friends out of the cemetery. There, beside the grave, as the casket lowered, an Army color guard slowly dipped the stars and stripes, the flag of the country that Robert Rake had loved and had served to his end. Robert Rake had been a living symbol of loyalty. May his life inspire others to dutifully carry on the task of helping to guard the land we love. The 4th Fighter Command of the United States Army Air Forces pays tribute to men and women like Robert Rake.
Each week, the Gordon Jenkins Orchestra and the Sportsmen join our Eyes Aloft theme song with the fighting song of some branch of the military service. Tonight, they compliment the Navy. Listen to Eyes Aloft in medley with Fighting Sons of the Navy Blue.
Was once the sentinel's cry, but a modern 20th century Paul Revere must watch the sky. Eyes aloft, night and day, we'll help protect the USA. We've got the will to fight for what we know is right, allegiance to a cause that's true. From California to the rugged, rocky coast of Maine, we're fighting sons of the Navy Blue. The ship of state sails on with battle flags unfurled. The stars and stripes come into view. We hold the beacon light of liberty for all the world. We're fighting sons of the Navy Blue. Beware, you pirates and buccaneers. We'll sail wherever we please. Take care, for Uncle Sam will never rest until he's won the freedom of the sea. But if it's war they want, we've got just what it takes to make democracy come through. We've got the ships, we've got the guns, we've got the courage too. We're fighting sons of the Navy Blue. Won by land and torn by sea was once the sentinel's cry, but a modern 20th century Paul Revere must watch the sky. Eyes aloft, night and day, we'll help protect the USA.
Since we first presented the thrilling Eyes Aloft theme, we've had hundreds of requests for copies of the song. We're glad you like it. And here is Ken Carpenter to chat with our musical director and the composer of our theme, Gordon Jenkins.
Gordy, I go around half the time humming that tune to myself. It really has a catchy melody.
Well, I've dreamed up lots of melodies in my day, Ken, but I catch myself humming Eyes Aloft myself. You know my humming.
Yes, I do. Well, seriously, Gordon, how'd you get the inspiration for those swell lyrics? You wrote the lyrics and music both, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a solo job. As far as getting the inspiration for the lyrics, I think all any songwriter would have to do is to go out some night to some isolated little observation post, stand around and look up the sky and listen for that possible plane.
You did that, Gordon?
I went out and visited several different posts before I wrote the song. I wanted to get the spirit of the observers who were doing this tremendous job, and I visited a filter center, too. The people who are carrying on this job really were the inspiration.
You know, I like that line, one if by land and two if by sea, was once a sentinel's cry.
Well, that's a little bit of early American history work, then.
Oh, I see. How about that modern 20th century Paul Revere must watch the skies?
Well, 150,000 of them are doing that right now on our Pacific coast.
That's right, but what we want to know, Gordon, is when is the song going to be published?
Well, I don't know, Ken. Do you think enough people are interested in buying a copy?
Well, we get a lot of mail, but I know it takes a lot of sales to justify publication.
Well, I'm not interested in making any money on the song. As a matter of fact, I own no rights to the song now.
Yes, I heard what you did this week.
Well, since the 4th Fighter Command has accepted it as the official song of the Aircraft Warning Service, I've signed over title, all rights, any profits that may result from its possible publication. That's the way I want it to be. Is other people are donating their services. What I did is little enough.
Well, right now, Gordon, we're going to say thanks to you for writing such a swell song, and then I'm going to explain to the folks about the rest of your plan. How about it, people, a good hand for composer Jenkins? Now, we're asking all those who are interested in securing a copy of the song Eyes Aloft to drop us a penny postcard. Now, understand, your card is not an order. We merely want to find out how many people would like to be able to go into their local music store and buy the published song. If enough of you respond, as we have every reason to believe, then we're almost positive the song will be published and distributed. And here's the really swell part. All profits from the song will go to build one or more observation towers for communities who have poor post facilities and deserve help. If you're interested in the song Eyes Aloft, just drop a postcard to Eyes Aloft, care of the radio station to which you are now listening. But do it right away. All right, now, Gain Whitman, let's get on with the show.
Once again, we present one of our features, the McKinley Diary. Excerpt from the little notebook written by observers at the McKinley, Oregon Post. A post located in the geographical center of the Pacific Coast area. A post which seems to typify the spirit of the Ground Observer Corps. Indian summer has come to the Little Valley Mountain. Mornings are crisp, days warm and languid. Early evenings serene with a soft, low-hanging haze of fall. Through the valley there is a feeling of peace and contentment. Peace? Well, but the people of the valley know better. They know that the nation is at war, and that they are an integral part of the nation's war. In the valley, many a service flag hangs from the farmhouse windows. A new flag will go up soon now. For last Friday, P.S. Easton, one of the original observers of McKinley Post, went to Portland to take his oath and become a member of the Army. Mr. Easton served in the Aero Squadron in the First World War. And here inside the little unpainted post building, see, here on the table, is the now famous diary. We'll turn a page, find the last entry made by Mr. Easton. Here we are.
September 21st, 1942. Monday, 1 a.m. Goodbye. Tonight, I am spending my last long watch at the observation post. For soon, I am leaving to follow the urge of the call that entices me most. My friends will cheer and my enemies jeer at the impulse that drives me along. And only time can tell if I'm right or if, perchance, I am wrong. The men and the women who watch through the night, the observers who watch through the day, are certain their country is still in the right and will win in the ultimate fray. But soldiers are needed to strike at the foe, are needed for patching the plains. But I must respond to my country's call, though leaving my loved ones' pains. I am hoping that someone will volunteer to watch through the hours I've filled, lest an enemy flight bring destruction and fright to hearts that soon may be chilled. My sorrow at leaving my own loved ones, I only am able to tell. Tonight, I am spending my last long watch. So, McKinley Post, farewell. P.S. Easton.
Now, for our last true life story of the evening. It is the night of July 14th. The observation post atop a brick building located on Land's End, the rocky promontory that juts itself into the turbulent ocean waters at the entrance of the Golden Gate. Two observers, Sal Argento and Bill Stappenhorst, were on duty. The night was cold, densely foggy. Foghorns wailed their ominous calls into the night. Suddenly, At exactly 2:30 a.m., the two observers were surprised to hear the rattle of machine guns down below them and toward the beach.
Hey, what's that noise, Bill?
Why, it's machine gun fire.
Oh, and they have a cop.
What you mean, Carl?
Machine guns. Maybe the Japs are flying in to attack San Francisco. Huh?
Hey, maybe that's it. We got a report right away.
Oh, they're coming in by boat, I guess. They established a beachhead right down below us here.
We could be mistaken about this. I don't hear any airplanes.
Oh, we could be mistaken, yeah, but I don't think so, though. Make that report, Bill.
Yeah.
Nobody's just to go around shooting machine guns off in the middle of the night without a minute some business. It's the Japs, I bet you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that... Hello. Army Flash. No, wait.
What's the matter, Bill?
Listen, operator. This is 23 Duke 91. Now, this is something special. Machine guns down below us on the beach. Yeah, let me talk to an officer. No. We are reporting an airplane. Yeah. Transfer my call.
Well, what happened? You going to talk to an army officer? Get him? Oh, good.
Yeah, this is different. You can't tell some filter operator, machine guns, high, heard, northwest. Hello? Yeah. Okay, Lieutenant. Yeah, I'll tell you all we know.
Tell him we hear machine guns.
Well, Lieutenant, we're sitting here, and we hear all of a sudden the machine guns start shooting.
Tell him it's a commando raid. They're landing down on the beach, maybe.
Now, Lieutenant, we think the Japs may be trying to establish a beachhead right down below us.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah. Now, we'll stick right here. Yes, Lieutenant. Goodbye.
Well, what did the army say, Bill?
Now, let's check it once.
Yeah. Hey, you listen to that. It's a machine gun.
Yeah. It's closer this time.
Hey, maybe one of us should have slipped down over there and try to see what we can see, eh?
No, Lieutenant ordered whoever was on duty here not to leave the post.
Oh, we got it. That sense. We wouldn't have both go. Oh, I take it this time. Hello? Yes, Major. Were they just to shoot again? No, we don't want to make any mistake. Positively, we hear a machine gun twice. Last time, much closer. Maybe they're coming up the cliff now, eh? Yeah, you bet. We stick right here on duty, Major. Okay, Major. Goodbye, Major.
Who was that?
I don't know. Some head guy. He says they get right on it and investigate. He says we're turning in the only report so far.
Well, Sal, I think we're going to see some action.
Well, maybe we hear it, but maybe we don't get to see or nothing. Doggone a fog. Hey, you here?
Yeah. What's think about that? It's a machine gun, all right.
Doggone a dirty little yellow jock. I'd like to get my hands on him myself, I tell you what. They come here to shoot at America. Dirty little yellow Jap.
In the next few minutes, the phone in the observation post was kept busy. Immediately, Army intelligence called for a report. Quickly following was a call from Navy intelligence. Less than 15 minutes later, the observers, Carl Argento and Bill Stappenhorst, heard the voices of men in the distance, heard the arrival of equipment, but through the fog, they could see nothing.
By golly, that army, she got here quick, eh?
Yeah, you're telling me.
Hey, let those Japs know who is a trying to act smart.
Huh, you hear that? A cannon.
You telling to me, huh? Give them everything down there, soldiers.
Our boys are starting to blast into those little yellow bellies.
Oh, they're only over here just a little way.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a shot right through our observation post.
Well, let them shoot. We hear everything on a sea or not.
Now, let them have both barrels, Army. You take care of them.
4 minutes after 3 a.m. Got to remember that hour, so I tell my grandchildren I hear first the shot of Jap attacking the United States. That dirty little yellow Jap.
Not once did Sal Argento and Bill Stappenhorst think of leaving the observation post unattended. They knew their duty, and they remained, taking the phone calls that came rolling in for more information. At 3:55, all of a sudden, emergency lights flared up on the rocky hillside. But the fog was almost impenetrable.
Hey, Bill. Look down there. Can't see much, but there's a much better with those lights on.
Yeah. Well, where'd the lights come from?
Well, how should we know? The army bring them, maybe. Hey, look. A lot of men running around. By golly, they know what they're doing, all right. They sure going to action a fast, Bill.
All through the night, Stappenhorst and Argento remained faithfully at their post. Finally, a murky dawn came, and at 6 a.m., they were relieved by the next watch.
Hey, you fellas, hear what happened tonight?
Oh, what happened, Saul?
The Japs tried to land right down below us here.
Yeah, we made the report, and the army arrived. And there was a bunch of trucks and guns.
Are you two guys dreaming?
It's the truth. We didn't see any army trucks or guns.
Well, they left and went to some other place, I guess.
You birds aren't trying to give us a scare.
Hey, look, I trust in my heart. I'd shake your hand. I'd do anything to make you believe the Japs tried to make a raid on our landing tonight.
We called the army, I tell you. They were here before we could hang up the phone almost.
Well, I'll be doggone. It looks like we're right in the middle of things. Hey, maybe this aircraft warning service was kind of needed after all.
By golly, I go home and see my family so they wouldn't be worried about me. Come on, Bill, let's get the car and go back to the city, eh?
You don't want to walk down to the cliff and take a look, Sal?
Well, if that army of ours is down there fighting, they don't want us civilians getting in the way. We better not get too curious. Come on, Bill, let's go back to the city.
Back in San Francisco at about 7 o'clock, Bill Steppenhaus pulled the car up alongside the curb on Market Street to let Sal Argento out. Paper boys called wildly.
Hey, wait 1 minute, Bill. I'll buy a paper. Maybe tell all about our raid, eh? Hey, boy, paper. Hey, come here.
What's it say, Sal?
Hey, look at this headline. Patrol board ashore.
Yeah, but what about the Jap raid?
Well, here, let me sit down a minute and look.
What? Well, that's a flashlight picture of the boat up on the shore.
Oh, it says Land's End. That's where we were. I mean, that's where it was. I mean, it's...
Now, hold the paper still, Sal. Let me read. In fog, early this morning, a patrol boat was washed onto the shoals at Land's End.
Hmm?
A captain fired machine gun shots as a signal for help.
Oh.
A Coast Guard boat arrived within the hour and fired its lifeline cannon and brought the crew to safety. Complete story on page 3. Well, I'll be doggone.
Well, how do you like that? No jobs, eh? And maybe we didn't do so much after all, eh?
Oh, wait a minute, Sal. They might have been Japs. We were ready for them. We made the report.
Oh, I don't know. Well, maybe we did a pretty good job after all, eh? You know, sometime we might really call up and report those dirty little yellow jobs, eh? Who knows?
Yes, Sal Argento and Bill Steppenhorst had been on guard, ready to warn if it had been a Jap raid. Actually, they made the report that sent the Army into action to check the situation. The Army, in turn, immediately notified the Coast Guard of the shipwreck, and help was sent in time so that not a single life was lost. Most important, Sal Argento and Bill Steppenhorst stuck to their jobs, stayed at their posts, proved loyal and dependable in the face of what appeared to be an actual enemy invasion. And that's the spirit back of the entire aircraft warning service.
Each week, we present the National Broadcasting Company's Eyes Aloft Gold Trophy Award to some outstanding observation post or filter center. Here now is Captain Smith to make this week's presentation. Captain Smith.
This week, we proudly present the Eyes Aloft Gold Trophy Award to that loyal group of men who operate the Land's End San Francisco Observation Post. It is a post with an enviable record for high efficiency. It is manned entirely by men who served in the last war, who take their responsibilities seriously. Again, this group of men prove their value to their country, this time in the role of volunteer civilian soldiers. The 4th Fighter Command salutes the Land's End Observers.
This is Gain Whitman saying goodnight to the 150,000 Aircraft Warning Service volunteer citizens who keep constant vigil of our home front so that America will be safe from any attack by air. Good night.
Eyes Aloft is written and produced by Robert L. Redd. Music is composed and conducted by Gordon Jenkins. This is Ken Carpenter, charging you to always remember Eyes Aloft. Remember, if you want our theme song published, drop a postcard to Eyes Aloft, care of the station to which you are listening. Eyes Aloft has come to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.